I guess the first place that you need to turn this morning is to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to turn in your Bibles. I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. I'm going to be speaking to you on the church, the body of Christ. And I guess before we start our study, and there's many passages of Scripture that I have here, and I've taught on this several times over the years. Been pastor here, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to start on this again this morning. There's just a lot of passages of Scripture that we can be talking about, so I don't know if we'll have this sermon and another one on this same subject, or two or three of them until we get to begin to understand, but I felt like the Lord wanted us to realize why we're here and who you are in Christ and what He expects of us as Christians and believers and just what it means to be a part of the church, the body of Christ. And I kind of want to, before I read, I just kind of want to start like this. For many, many years, God had his representatives like Abraham, Isaac, Adam and Eve, that were on this earth, Joseph, David, the psalmist, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets, many of the prophets. He had people that were here that represented him in the very best ways that they possibly could. And of course, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation gives us what the Old Testament folks who represented God had to say, the Psalms and the Proverbs and all of those passages of Scripture were written so that you and I, we as individuals, could come to know who God is and what He's like and what He's all about. And so that's why we have His Word. But as if that wasn't enough, from the very beginning, God had planned that one time during this time that earth is going to last, and it is, I'd like to just kind of give you a warning, and I could go right now and get into some prophecies of Scripture that have only been fulfilled, one of them in just the last few years, that have been fulfilled that indicated that Jesus told His disciples when they asked Him, when is all this going to happen, the end of the world, and when is the time going to end, and they were, because He had told them, you see this temple, they were admiring the temple at Jerusalem, and He said, there's coming a time when there's not going to be one stone left standing here. And they said, well, when is that time? Would you tell us? And so one of the last signs that we saw fulfilled was in 1948, because God said, I'm going to scatter my people all over the world. In the last days, everybody say last days. That means the end of time, the last days. I'm going to gather them back in from all of the countries where I've scattered them. And I'm going to reestablish them in their land. In their land, that desert area over there that's been unproductive for years, is going to become one of the richest places in all the world. In 1948, Jews came, well, beginning with Hitler's persecution of the Jews, all in the European areas prior to World War II and during World War II, they had to leave their business and flee for their lives. Many of them were burned and killed in concentration camps, and as a result of that persecution, they didn't know where they were going to go. But if you've seen the movie Exodus that came out back in the 60s, that was a perfect movie that illustrated. They came on ships and came to the only place they knew where they had come from, their ancestors, and that was Israel. And boy, that created a big trouble that's still going on today between the Israelis and the Egyptians, because they had to make room for all those people that were coming from all over Europe. So I'm here, I'm telling you this for two reasons. Number one, I want you to know we're in the last days, because 1948 hadn't been that very long ago. And the second thing I want you to know is that every word in this Bible when God speaks it, it's going to come to pass. I don't care how long it's going to take, it's going to come to pass. And that's a good thing, because we learn from the Word of God what God is all about and what He wants of us, because He wants us to know Him. Everybody say no. That doesn't mean no, I don't know. That means to know, I do know. K-N-O-W, know. And to have a relationship with Him, and that's what Christianity is all about, that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, reaches out into the world and gives everybody. He says He's not willing to, for that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? And so He also said He sent His Word and He get His Son to Jesus, died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. That means your sins and my sins and everybody's sin. So there's no reason for anyone to pass away and go to hell because they're not good enough, because when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He bore our sins in His body on the cross and shed His blood and died in our place so we wouldn't have to, so that we could receive Him and become His body, the church, here on this earth. So that's where we are. And that's what He wants us to understand, because in the last days, the Bible says that God, wanting us to really understand, and I'm just sort of paraphrasing this in a kind of a general way so we can all understand where I'm coming from. God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus, who proclaimed for everybody, if you want to know who God is, look at me. I come to represent Him. And He is the Bible says, God said, of only one man in all of the world, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus Christ came as the final representative in the flesh of God, so we could see Him as He is and as He was. But we have also the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and many other parts of the New Testament scriptures, that so we can look at the things He did, see where He went and the people He loved, and then we can get a better concept and idea of what God is all about. And we can get to know Him. And we can also understand that He has a means of salvation. That is, He has come to make a way. As He said, I am, there's not many ways. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except by me. Now He left. He went back to heaven, but He left His disciples and believers, that put people that had left their families, their husbands, their wives, their children, and many of them died as a result of, because He told them, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Which the gospel is the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. I realize this is all simple stuff, but I want to just say that again, because we need to be put into remembrance sometimes. So now we're the body of Christ. We're the church. And our purpose here, if you're a member of the body of Christ, and if you're not a member of the body of Christ, then you need to get to be one, because that's the only way you can be saved. And you say, well, is that complicated or complex? No, it's not. It's really simple, because Jesus shed His blood for your sins on the cross, And he's made a way through the power of his Holy Spirit that you and I can believe and put our trust in him and call upon him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and profess him publicly and openly that Jesus Christ is my Lord. That doesn't mean I say Jesus Christ is our Lord, or I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus Christ. That means I profess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my Savior and my Lord. That means I'm going to obey him and follow him as best I can. And that sometimes is difficult, but I want you to know this also, that because we confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, like I came one time, knelt at the altar, I was a church member, I was religious. Knelt down on the altar, and I realize I say some of the same things over and over again, but I just say what I feel like the Lord wants me to say, amen. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And being a church member, since I was 12 years old, as a junior boy, I joined the church and got baptized, but I didn't have the foggiest idea of what that meant. But when I come through the power of the Holy Spirit and his drawing me, I came to the altar here, in a church. I went to the altar and knelt down, and I called upon the name of the Lord, and I said, Lord, I need a Savior. Would you save me? I've never been the same since. And I knew he changed me. And you should too. Amen? And not only did he change you, he's changed you forever. And not only that, you're one of his children forever because you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. So where am I? Where I am is, why am I saying all of this? Where we are is, we are the body of Christ as believers, and those of us that are believers, are to represent God and represent Christ on this earth now, because we are the body of Christ. He lives in us, we live in him, and wherever we go, whatever we say, whatever we do, if we are professed Christians, then we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ, not religion. I want to say something about religion because I always say something about religion because religion, believe it or not, even the Christian religion, if it's just merely a religion, is the most damnable thing. Religions are the most damnable thing that's ever happened to this world. It's because of religions, whatever they may be, well, let me put it this way. The religious people of Jesus' time, they knew the scriptures, they knew Isaiah, Jeremiah, they knew they could quote the Bible, they were the most religious people, they went to the synagogue and prayed all the time, they said long prayers, they stood on street corners, they dressed a particular way so everybody would know that they were the religious people, they were the ones that hung him on the cross and said, away with him, crucify him. And religion is doing the same thing today. That's the reason the Bible tells us as individuals we need to be careful that don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, the Bible says. If we couldn't be deceived, God wouldn't be telling us that in his word, right? So he says, you make this a priority in your life that you make sure that your calling and election is correct. You make sure. So each individual, that's why the Lord gives us the Word of God, so that we can be sure that what he tells us is true, and what has come to pass in other people's lives has come to pass in our lives, and we know that when we made a profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and put our trust in him as the only means and the only way to get to God and know God and get to heaven, make heaven my home, and escape death, hell, and the judgment of this world is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, are you listening? To those of us who have done that, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he does that through his word. And in his spirit. so that we have a knowing, we have an understanding. You may not know all that's happened to you. I'm still learning all that happened to me back when I got saved. And I'm still learning what it means to be a child of God. And I've been doing this and preaching this for over 60 some odd years, so I know. And there's times, and I need to say this, when you've heard me say this before, there are times when the enemy comes in, I don't have time to go into a lot of this, but I've talked about this before. When the enemy comes in and tries to get those of us who are Christians, when we do something wrong, we make a mistake, and we sin, and we fall short of God's glory, and we all do, that the enemy comes, and he is accuser of the brethren, and he doesn't accuse us before God anymore because he's been cast out from there. The devil can't accuse us there. But he can't accuse us right here. And the first thing he does with Christians, because we're babes in Christ and we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the first thing that he does to Christians is in our minds he tries to tell us when we make a mistake and do something wrong, and we can do some bad things as Christians, let me tell you, especially as baby Christians and as children, as young Christians. He can tell us, and he accuses us, and he comes to us, and he tries to bring up all the bad things and some of the bad things that we've done, and he tries to make us think in our minds, and here's what he says, and God so loves somebody like you. And I want you to know, 99% of the time, if the enemy's saying something like that, if God can love somebody, God can't even love anybody like me. I've sinned, I've done this, I've failed so many times, blah, 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 blah. Well, then that's probably evidence. That's probably one of the first evidences that you are a Christian, because if you wasn't a Christian, the devil wouldn't be telling you that. Are you with me? So that's not a time to disbelieve. That's a time to believe, hey, I must be a Christian. Because if I wasn't, God wouldn't be telling me I'm not a Christian. The enemy's telling me and bringing up my failures and my past sins, right? And boy, he can do that real easy, because we live in a physical body. And the Bible tells us in Galatians 5 that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary to the other. This is in Galatians chapter 5 and a couple of other places. And he also tells us to put on the armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles and the cunnings and the deceitfulness of the enemy. That's what we have to do. We have to put on, after we become a Christian, we have to put on the armor of God. Well, what is the armor of God? Well, read Ephesians chapter, 5 or 6. It tells you the shield of faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Take the shield of the faith. Take the sword of the Spirit. Well, where do you get the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. That's why he gives us a desire when we become his children to get into the word of God, so that we be able to put on the whole armor of God, because as we grow, maybe at first we don't have a whole lot of problems as Christians, because we're just baby Christians and we don't understand a lot of that, and we're children. And as I tell people from time to time, I don't go to a child that's 6 years old or 4 years old or 5 years old and doesn't even understand 2 plus 2, doesn't even know what 2 plus 2 means, and try to get into algebra and trigonometry. That would be the dumb thing to do, because they don't have the basics. That's the reason why God wants us to get into the Word. That's why he wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ. And that's why he tells us in Isaiah, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We don't just become instant adults. And he tells us we're babes in Christ and we have to grow. And that's the whole purpose of the church, and that's our purpose too, so that we... let me get back to the purpose of the church. That's what I'm supposed to be talking about, I think, this morning. King James Version, New King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. We're going to talk about the church, the body of Christ. For as the body is one, so he's telling you, I want you to look at, because he's looking at a human body. And he says, your human body has many members. Look, you know, you have an arm. You have arms. You have hands. You have many members. You have legs. You have feet. You have eyes. You have ears. You have a brain. You have a nose. You have a mouth. You with me? But it has many members. That body has many members. And they don't all have the same function. When I'm going to go to talk to somebody, I don't stick up my foot and barefoot and say, listen to what my big toe has to say. Amen? Well, that's laughable. That would be stupid, wouldn't it? You'd think, what happened to that crazy person? Amen? I sure wouldn't want to. In fact, I'd probably put on a mask if somebody took their shoes off and stuck their big toe in front of me and say, pewee. So the body is one, but he's saying, when you look at your body, I want you to look at the body of Christ, because I'm going to tell you that the body of Christ is one. That all of us that are Christians, we're all one, and we're all in one body. And that body, the body of Christ, the church, it has many members, just like our body does. And he's going to talk about some of these as we go along here. But all the members of the one body, I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, but all the members of that one body, the body of Christ, the church, being many, everybody say many, are one body, so also is Christ. And I want to pause right here just a minute. Now, we're going to read on, but I just want to say this, because there's some churches, some denominations, some of the religions that will tell us we all have to be the same. We all have to have this gift, or we have to have that gift, or we have to be called to do this, or we have to be called. And the list can, depending on, you have to quit doing this and you have to quit doing that, and the list can vary and it goes on. And so the church, the religious church in the world and the religious people in this world have made it so confusing that most people don't even want to have anything to do with religion anymore. It's confusing. Which one is correct? Which one's right? And I'm going to tell you, there's only one right. And that's the one that Jesus Christ started and brings us into, and we are members of his body. And his spirit is in us, and we're in him. And that's what makes us Christians. We've been born again. Okay, let's read on. Verse 13. This is a very important verse. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one spirit. Now, you've heard me. In fact, I think last Sunday I preached on baptisms, because there's many baptisms mentioned in the Bible. Several of them. Spirit baptism, water baptism, the baptism of the disciples, the baptism on the day of Pentecost, the baptism through the cloud and through the sea, and so on. But the Bible says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized in one body, and it doesn't make any difference whether we're Jews or Greeks or we're slaves or free or whatever we are. If we're saved and we're the part of the body of Christ, we've all been made to drink into one spirit, because it is the Spirit of God that births us and places us into the body of Christ. Otherwise, we couldn't be saved. So I would like for you to know, in all sincerity, when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, when we come and honestly, with our heart, we say, I need to be saved, or I need to know God, or I need to have a relationship with Him, or I'm lost, or whatever we say, God forgive me, or God have mercy on me, whatever. When we come and call upon the name of the Lord in truth, at that moment, at that instant, we're saved. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, our spirit is saved at that time, and we're a three-part being, and I don't want to have to get in. That's a whole different study, spirit, soul, and body. But I want you to know that at the moment that we confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, publicly, openly, at that moment, the Spirit of God takes us and places us into the body of Christ, and we have been born again. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Any man, woman, whoever believes, put their trust that they are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away, all things become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit takes you and places you in the body of Christ. Amen? That's how you're saved. Let's read on. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12. For by one Spirit we were all baptized in one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have been made to drink in one Spirit. For, verse 14, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. You don't want to go cut your foot off and say, you're not a member of this body. Plunk, and then you're walking on one foot. You're in trouble. And the foot says, well, I want to be a hand. I want to be like that person. Or I want to be an eyeball. Or I want to be whatever. It's not what you want to be. It's what God wants you to be and how He places you in the body. Are you listening? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. So what is he saying here, just simply? He's saying that all the members in the body are not the same. Some can be an eye, some can be a foot, some can be a head, some can be an ear. Are you with me? We all have maybe some of the same functions, but we all have different functions too. Amen? And then he's going to give us some of the actual functions of the positions that he puts in the body of Christ. Let's go on. Verse 17. If the whole body, and we're talking about the body of Christ now, were an eye, where would be the hearing? How could we hear if everybody was an eyeball? Or my whole body was nothing but an eyeball rolling around on the floor. If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Verse 18, another important verse. Probably need to underline this in your Bible. But now, everybody say now. That means now. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. So He's not saying He placed you in the body of Christ and that you're saved here, because that's a foregone conclusion. We are saved when we're placed by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Amen? What he's saying here is he wants you to know that there are differences in the body, and that God has made people different gifts. They're in the body, and he's given us the gifts as it pleased him. So it's not we all need to go get some gift, because God has a variety of gifts. Amen. And he wants us to be using them. And we need to find out what gifts he's given us as God's children. Verse 19. If all of the members were all one member, whether foot, hand, head, whatever, where would the body be? He's teaching us. This is the Word of God. He's trying to teach us something here, church. But now, indeed, there are many members, but there's one body. And verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Hey, folks, in this church, we all need one another. And in the body of Christ, wherever they gather, they all need one another. That's why God puts us together. And the older ones of us that have had time to grow, we need to be a part to help the younger ones that are come in to help them grow. And one of the best ways we can help them to grow is be an example for them. So, verse 22, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Well, what good is that little finger? I just chop that thing off. No. Well, it's not as strong as my bicep. No, it's not. That's why you need to help it. Protect it. Take care of it. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, verse 23, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part, he gives the greater honor to that part which lacks it. So don't think just because you're one of the least ones in the body of Christ or you feel that way, God's saying here in his word, you have more honor. Amen? Verse 25, and the reason for this is that there should be no schisms or no divisions or no strife in the body. And also, not only that, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I don't have to say to you, unless you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, you're not a member of my body. Are you listening to me? Unless you haven't been baptized into the body, into water, into this church or that church, you're not a part of the body of Christ. Are you listening? Unless you have the gift of healing, or unless you have the gift of seeing, or unless you have the gift of preaching or teaching, you're not a part of the body. He's saying even the most uncommonly parts of our body, which some of them, like the navel, are not even seen, on them you need to bestow the greatest honor. Because if we didn't have a navel, folks wouldn't be here. Are you listening? And this is what he's saying about the body of Christ. I got to hurry. Verse 25, the last part of that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, I don't care what it is, all the members will suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So let's just take the suffering for just a minute. If I'm running down the road barefooted, like I was when I was a kid about 12 or 13 years old, and I stump my toe, that little insignificant thing, it gets my attention. I have pain in my whole body. It affects my whole body. Are you with me? And so in the body of Christ, wherever it is, if we have one member suffering and we're associated with that. Now, there's a lot of people suffering in Christianity right now in Africa, and especially in the northern part. The Islamic are going there and burning Christian churches and beating the pastors, and taking their wives and their daughters and raping them and throwing them into bondage, sexual bondage, and kill them and beating them. How would you like to be a Christian over there under those circumstances? We have it made over here pretty much in comparison to that. Verse 27, that the members should have the same care for one another. Verse 27, now, everybody say now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are an individual member of the body of Christ. Amen? I'm an individual, but I'm a member of the body of Christ. Amen? Ram is an individual, his wife, Trish, but they're members of the body of Christ. Amen? Doesn't mean we lose our individualism. It just means we accept who we are in the body of Christ and realize that we're a member of a whole body, and what affects us is going to affect everybody else as individuals. Verse 28. And here he's going to tell us the officers and the offices that God has appointed in the church. Verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, those that have the gift of miracles. Then some have the gifts of healings. Some have the gifts of helps. Some have the gifts of administrations, because God has appointed these. Given some have a variety of tongues. They can speak in different languages, even a heavenly language. Now he's going to ask the question, verse 29, and this is an important question. Let's read it. And then the answers to each one of these questions automatically is no. Are you with me? Are all apostles? No. Are all apostles? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? Verse 30, no. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Are you listening? This is what God's word says. And so when one denomination tells me or tells you or so, and tells their people that you've got to speak in tongues before you're saved, well, then they're directly telling a lie, because the Word of God says that not all of them speak in tongues. You with me? Do all interpret? I've only been in one church, I think, or maybe two in my whole life that I've ever heard someone stand up in the church and speak a message in tongues and an interpreter stand up in back and interpret what that person said so everybody in the whole church could be blessed by what he was being spoken. Wow. Well, I guess I need to say this. In that same chapters and those same verses there where it talks about that, that's where it says all the women are to keep silent in the church. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you, that doesn't mean women don't have gifts. Are you listening? That means specifically in where it's talking about tongue. Let me tell you something. When our church was growing, and before when we bought this land, we didn't have this building here. We were meeting in the high school, what used to be the old grade school auditorium. The school let us meet over there, and we had a big crowd of people. We had probably maybe 200, 250 people. And if you read that article in that paper that came out, that guy got that wrong. I didn't say there was 300 families. I said we used to have that many. Are you with me? And somebody had a copy of that paper. Did y'all get the Ingleside Index, any of you? Well, it had a big article on our church. What I was going to tell you when we were meeting over there in that auditorium, I had two spirit-filled women that and their husbands that came and they were visiting our church. They had come from another state and they were here in this area. Their husbands had been called down here to work and they were coming to our church. And they come up to the altar one Sunday morning after church. They came to the altar and they were crying. And I went down there and knelt down by them. I said, "What's the matter?" And they said, "Brother Lewis, something's wrong with us." I said, "Well, what's wrong with you?" They said, "Well, every church we've ever been in, we've been able to speak in tongues and bring a message in tongues and all that. And the Holy Spirit won't let us do that in this church." I said, "Wow. Praise God." And they looked at me like I had fallen off of a cliff. They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You see, when you're led by the Holy Spirit and your spirit filled, you won't do anything unless the pastor of that church has allowed that to happen in his church. And in our church, I have never allowed, that doesn't mean they haven't, but I have never allowed women to speak in tongues in our church. Allowed. And bring a message in tongues in our church." They were so happy they jumped up and started shouting. I said, "That doesn't mean you're not spiritual. And that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. That means you're exactly right on where God wants you to be. You're listening to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Praise God." Amen? Verse 30, "Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I'm going to show you a more excellent way." And then he begins to talk about what it means to be filled with the Spirit in the church and in the body of Christ, how to be filled, what it means to be filled, and some other things that are important to us in understanding, well, what gift has the Holy Spirit given me other than eternal life? He's given you eternal life if you're a Christian. But I think in a lot of cases, there's a lot of churches that are suffering because there's some people there that God has given gifts that he wants to use in their lives, but they don't even know what they are, and they don't even know God's been given, has given them a gift. And the whole body suffers from that, folks. Because just like a toe, as insignificant as that is, or a finger, or a tongue, or a nose, or an ear, is important to the whole body, and without that functioning properly, we have an issue. Are you with me? So does the body of Christ, the church, have an issue if the people that are a part of the body of Christ who have been saved and who have a gift of the Holy Spirit, or maybe more than one gift, that God wants to use them somewhere, not only maybe just in the church, but out there in your job or wherever you are. One of the things is to stand up and be a light. We all have been translated out of the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light. So he tells us, if you don't have any gift of all, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not glorify you or me or our ministry, but to glorify him. Because when they see that functioning, and it's functioning the way it's supposed to be, that gift we're talking about here, it ministers healing, it ministers help and strength and courage to people that are in need. I'm running out of time. I'm standing in front of church and I'm saying this for those that are here and on the website and on the internet and stuff, because we're on there. And this goes, I've had messages from Japan and Germany, different places. Not a lot of them, but I've heard from different places all over the world. This church is on the internet, and we're reaching people all over the world. And my wife was sitting right over there, one, two, three, four, the fifth pew back, sitting over there on that side. I didn't realize she was depressed. She was going through a hard time or difficult time. And this was right before the service started. She told me later on after she got home, said, "Lewis, I want to tell you something. Mrs. So-and-so, who was one of the spirit-filled ladies in our church, she didn't know she was spirit-filled. She came walking down the aisle and she went down that side of the church over there. And when she went by, she just laid her hand on Pat's shoulder, said, God loves you," or something like that. It wasn't anything. But she said, that soul ministered to me. That just touched, just so ministered to me. So let me tell you something. You don't have to be recognizing. You may be singing up here. That ministers to people. You may be, you may just lay the hands on someone. You may be praying for someone. That ministers to people. You're a part of the ministry of the body of Christ. And it's a worldwide church. It's not just a church in Ingleside. It's the whole body of Christ all over the world. And it's here to represent God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what we're here for. Let your light shine. Amen? Let's stand. I could tell some more. I mean, I'm not through probably here with this. I may talk some more. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If anybody wants to come to the altar for anything, for prayer, for anointing, or for somebody to agree with you together in prayer, you can slip out and come right now. If you have an offering or tithe or whatever you want to do, you can do that at this time as we go to the Lord, and we're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to ask my son-in-law, Mark DeBerry, to close us in prayer.